welcome to the Twilight Zone.
It sounds like the Church of Comic Culture.
It is. Welcome to the Church of Comic Culture, preaching weekly on the merits of comics and all good things. You're listening to us on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio. We podcast at comicbookdaily.com and we podcast at getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRiley, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Hamilton's Mohawk, Professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And we are your organs.
Organs.
Of comic delivery.
The Church of Comics.
The Church of Comics. That was, of course, that was Krantz, right?
That was actually Krantz, believe it or not. So for those of you who are longtime listeners, but not even first-time callers, you would know that we like to play a lot of Krantz.
First-time callers?
I don't know. Maybe how people say that. Yeah. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Right, okay.
Anyways. I found some old Krantz that we haven't played before, so we're going to be playing that this week. Unfortunately, our producer Shecky is not here with us.
Did you just say unfortunately?
Well, it
depends on how you read.
It depends on how you read that. Yeah.
And of course, we're going to miss Shecky. I know a few fans are going to really be upset about Shecky.
Yeah, I've heard that what's his name? Bitterman, John Bitterman.
John Bitterman.
He's going to be very upset.
Yeah, a couple of guys. Yeah. I don't know. I think the other thing though is I think it's gone to Shecky. He's had.
I think so.
He
yeah.
thinks the show's all about him.
He's actually at a book signing tonight.
Is that where he is?
Yeah. Right. My life is Shecky Feldstein.
Right. Listen, so the pressure's on you and me to prove that we don't need him.
Yeah.
We can do a good show without him. So don't mess up.
I'm not worried.
Okay. All right. Let's start, Chris, like we do every week with New This Week. And New This Week is brought to you by Shecky Feldstein. You need something produced?
Shecky's your man.
Shecky's your man.
All right, listen. I want to talk about one of the books that you and I have been waiting for a long time to come out, and that is, of course, Secret Wars number 9.
Is that finally out?
It's finally out.
Thank
finally
God.
Out. Secret Wars number 9.
Does that mean 800 other things can happen in the Marvel Universe?
800 things that have already happened are now allowed to happen.
I guess they couldn't hold back a whole
line
schedules.
Of comics,
right?
Yeah. So, unfortunately, all these, Invincible Spider-Man Iron Man.
In the old days.
Yeah.
When you had a guy like Jack Kirby.
Right.
He can just insert a monthly comic, just run in the weekend.
Yeah, no problem.
Whip out
done.
A monthly comic
done,
and
done.
Done. Just like, hey, here's like a one-shot.
You want a comic?
Yeah.
I got one for you.
And that happened a few times where, for some reason, the continuity had to get disrupted because an artist wasn't available or something like that. So just Jack whips in, does a quickie, whips back out.
Right. Done and done.
Done.
You know what? You know what I find interesting, though? So Secret Wars, which kind of like it changed the Marvel Universe. Like this Secret Wars changed the Marvel Universe.
Right.
And things happened. So remember when Spider-Man with a black costume came out?
Sure do.
And then, but it hadn't actually been introduced in Secret Wars yet because they shipped the Amazing Spider-Man comic first.
Right.
And even though the first appearance was supposed to be in Secret Wars, but it hadn't actually appeared yet.
Yep.
So it's like all these things that happened in the Marvel Universe that happened back in the old Marvel Universe Secret Wars, and just like stuff has happened now because of shipping problems.
So they haven't learned anything in 30 years.
Not a thing. No,
wow.
That's my point.
Yeah.
That's my
Sounds point. Like the place I got going here, Chris.
Anyways, so Secret Wars number 9 of 9 by Jonathan Hickman, Asad Rabich, and Yves Forcina. I think that's how you say his name. I don't know.
Evs.
Uh-huh. Anyways, that's finally out today.
Good. That's Marvel Superhero Secret Wars number 9 available at your local comic book shop today.
Robin War number 2 by DC Comics.
Robin who?
Robin War.
Robin War?
Robin War.
Is he a new character?
No. So basically, it's a bunch of people that are deciding that they are taking on the mantle of Robin.
Oh.
So like, for example, like in the first couple pages here, there's a guy that says, I'm not Robin. And then he says, we are Robin. There's all these people dressed as Robin who'd all start fighting.
Okay. So
together.
The thing that puzzles me here.
What's puzzling?
So there's a whole bunch of guys that want to be a superhero.
Right.
So, hey, I want to be Batman. I want to be Superman. And these guys are going, hey, I want to be Robin.
Right. Well, I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
I don't get it either.
Well,
yeah, I don't get it.
Hopefully you'll get it when you head into your local comic book shop
but you know,
and pick up Robin War. Hey, by the way, Chris, that's number 2 of 2.
There's got to be at least two
issues.
Well, two fans of Robin out there.
There's more than two fans.
People who want to be Robin.
Right.
Like, if you could be Robin or Batman, would you prefer to be Robin?
No, I think I'd be Batman.
I think I'd be Batman too. Yeah.
I think maybe it's the people, you know how, because some people are like, you know, the alpha males,
right,
and stuff like that.
Right, right,
but maybe it's people that kind of want to wade into superhero-dom.
Yeah,
dumb.
They don't want to jump right into Batman
and Superman. Yeah. They want to kind of wade in as Robin.
Do you think that there are people out there who would say, you know, I'd rather be Robin because there's not as much pressure to be Robin as there is to be Batman? Right, so
yeah.
So these are the they're not the alpha males, they're the what, beta males, is that mm-hmm. what you say? Yeah, betas.
Listen, if your dog's got worms, call Robin. All right, what else we got?
All
Chris?
Right, Spider Gwen, Radioactive Spider Gwen number 4 is out on the stands today. So this is like, it's not the usual, you know, regular universe that we're used to, because this is Spider-Gwen. Because obviously in the Marvel universe that we're used to, Gwen Stacy's dead.
Oh, right. Gwen Stacy's dead. Right.
But this is Spider-Gwen.
I knew
so
that.
She's from a different universe.
Mm-hmm. 614?
Yeah, I don't know.
729?
Sure. Well, I don't know what the universe is.
14?
Maybe. Maybe. Right. Let's just say number. Yeah, 14. Sure. Okay. Anyways, Spider-Gwen number 4 is out.
Hey. Radioactive Spider-Gwen number 4, available at your local comic book shop today.
All right, so this is interesting. So this is a hot off on the heels of the new movie coming out soon, Suicide Squad number
right.
16 is coming out. And this, of course, now it's funny how they've kind of created the costumes to look a little bit more like the way they're going to be in the movies.
Ah.
You know, they're a little more realistic looking kind mm-hmm. of thing. So yeah, Suicide Squad number 16 comes out today.
Very cool. Suicide Squad number 16 at your local comic book shop. Get primed for the movie.
Right, yes, looking forward to that one.
Doing my best, Chris, to sell this stuff
like
for
it.
You here.
I like
I'm doing
it.
My best.
Do your best, yeah. All right. I like it. Green Lantern Corps, Edge of Oblivion, number 1 of 6, comes out today. So if you're a fan of Green Lantern, and there are a lot of people out there who are Green Lantern fans.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's funny how there's a lot of people out there who are actually fans of, not of like, you know, Kyle Rayner or Hal Jordan or even, you know, I don't know.
Guy Gardner,
yeah. They're fans of the aliens.
Rod Stewart.
You're a fan of Rod Stewart.
Yeah,
actually.
I'm a big fan of Rod Stewart. He's the best Green Lantern there ever was.
Well, there's lots of aliens in this
one. Wake up, Sinestro. I think I've got something to say to you.
That
was really bad. That
was terrible.
But
I liked it, though. I liked it. But listen, this is the Green Lantern Corps, Edge of Oblivion. The whole Green Lantern Corps is out on a big mission to save the universe once again.
They're always out.
Yeah,
to
they
save
really
the
are.
Universe.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
God for the Green Lantern Corps. That's
really?
All I got
I
to
agree.
Say. Hey,
I
Chris,
agree.
Green Lantern Corps number 1 of 6.
Yep.
Edge of Oblivion.
Yep.
Is out at your local comic book shop.
Okay, Injustice, Gods Among Us, Year 5.
Wow.
So Injustice started out as a video game that has sort of now transferred over to the comics and actually done...
Oh, Injustice was a video game
Yeah.
First?
Okay. It was actually...
Of DC characters.
Oh. And it was...
Oh.
It's like what they call one of them fighting games.
It was a fighting game.
So like, it's like a
Mario?
No, that would be...
Hold
a,
on. Like Donkey Kong?
No,
Street Fighter.
Yes,
yeah,
there
you
go. Street
I
Fighter
was getting there.
Or Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat,
yeah, that kind of thing. So it started out as a
World
fighting
of Warhammer.
Game. No, you're losing it. You should just end there. Just
Street
stop.
Fighter.
Stop
the Street
stop
Fighter.
Stop Street Fighter. Okay. Yeah, it's a good idea. So anyway, it started out as a came out as a comic and a video game, but more popular as a video game. But it's still going now as a comic. So I think the idea is it's sort of a fun comic about villains versus heroes, and you know, there's not a whole lot to it.
Fun to be had, Chris, if you walk into
fun.
Your local comic book shop and pick up Injustice: Gods Among Us Year 5, number 1.
Fun comic.
Yeah.
All right. A comic that isn't a Marvel or DC. I've got the death-defying Dr. Mirage, Second Lives.
Dr. Mirage?
Now, Dr. Mirage...
It's not what you think he is.
It's a mirage.
It's a mirage.
Was Dr. Mirage not a character from like the old-timey comics, like Gold Key?
I don't know.
Am I thinking of Dr. Solar?
Dr. Solar definitely was.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Dr. Mirage, you know, when you say Dr. Mirage, I think, you know, shadow.
Yeah,
I think, you know,
yeah.
Like occult type stuff, right?
It sounds very occultish, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, all right. There you go. Dr. Mirage from Valiant Comics number 2 came out.
If you hate Marvel and hate DC...
You probably hate this.
And then no. You have to give Valiant a chance for Dr. Mirage, okay. Second Lives number 2. That's available at your local comic book shop today.
Okay, let's see. What else we got going here?
Not sure.
Avengers number 3. Now, this is the all-new, all-different Avengers number 3. This is the one by Mark Waid and what's that guy? Adam Kubert.
Art Balthazar?
Balthazar is not in this one. I actually like the storyline on this one. That's by, as I said, by Mark Waid. It's got all the Iron Man and Captain America in it and all your favorites. So I like that book.
Cool. Head into your local comic book shop and pick up the all-new, all-different Avengers number 3.
Now, there's another book I'm going to talk about in a minute, but before we get to that, I want to talk about a kids book. We don't do enough kids books.
No, we don't.
So,
we
Guardians don't. Of the Galaxy number
we
4.
We should, appeal to
kids.
Yeah. But then again, Chris, our show, what we talk about, is on such an intellectual level.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Kids probably wouldn't be able to understand what we're talking about. Yeah.
This is for the parents buying for their kids.
That's right. So this is Guardians of the Galaxy number 4, and this is based on the Guardians of the Galaxy cartoon. So it looks kind of like they even just took the pictures straight off the HD TV.
off the cell things.
Yeah.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah, so
probably they did.
It looks like it.
Hey, listen, Guardians of the Galaxy, all ages, number 2. No, number 4. Available at your local comic book shop.
Okay, so the next book I want to talk about very quickly here, and I left this to last because I don't think there's anything that has been said about it on the major news broadcast, but one of the longest running Marvel characters. What's that? I'm talking about Namor.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's wrong?
No, I thought we were going to leave that till
so afterwards.
Yeah,
I thought you wanted me to talk about it now.
No, we're gonna. I thought it was going to segue with the other.
Okay,
news article
also, why don't I save this one for now?
Hey, don't tell him who it is though.
Okay, have I said anything yet?
No. Oh, okay. No, you haven't said Namor at all.
I haven't said Namor. All right. Before we get into this, we'll have a quick musical interlude then. And
it's a good thing you and I talk before the show. It's a good thing we communicate and this thing goes. You know, Shecky's probably listening to this somewhere going, yeah, those guys need me.
Okay, listen, this is going to be an all Krantz episode, so we're going to have more Krantz music. This one's called The Scarf. Love that, Krantz.
Listen, takes us into industry news, and industry news is brought to you by Shecky Feldstein. You need somebody to run your restaurant? Shecky Feldstein is your man. All right, Chris, so let's talk about this thing. So this was Marvel had this powwow, this retreat,
right?
Where they go get massages and they put hot rocks on on their private parts or something. Not sure what they do, but then they go and then they get all together.
Okay, have you ever had a hot rock on your private part?
No, okay. I haven't.
You should try it someday.
Really? Yeah. Is it wonderful?
Yeah, it's painful.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, go on.
I might pass, but apparently these guys haven't passed.
Okay,
because they go up there and they have all this stuff done.
A little
to them.
Retreat.
Yeah, and then they get together.
Yep.
Probably in a drunken stupor.
Probably.
And then they decide the fate of the Marvel Universe together.
Oh, nice.
Because as you and I know, when you're running the helm of a large comic corporation, you can't just write a large event independently of all the other titles.
Right.
So all the writers have to go up and say, hey, guys, girls, we are writing Civil War, and you know, the one that writes Groot, pay attention because, you know, you're going to have to...
you have to do something, yeah.
Do something.
Yeah,
so it's all tied in and correlated and stuff like that. So the word is that after Civil War II, in Civil War II, they're going to kill a major Marvel character.
So Civil War II is the next sort of big blockbuster type multi-book crossover thing.
Action-adventure. Thriller.
Yeah, that they're going to do in the Marvel Universe.
Right.
Right, okay.
So let me explain a little
bit. Or at least sum up.
Excuse me. Sorry, I'm a little clamped.
he's very upset about all this.
Yeah. So this is the way they're setting up Civil War II.
Okay.
I want your reaction to this. So what's happening is... a new Marvel character has the ability to calculate the outcome of future events. So he's got this power.
Okay. It's like a psychic?
I guess so. Like Kreskin.
Oh, what? Yeah. Okay, maybe that's good. Yeah, I like that. Okay.
It reveals that a hero...
Or Ravine.
Who?
Ravine.
Is that like Yanni?
He's like a poor man's Kreskin.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Okay. We might not afford Kreskins to be able to... So we might get Ravine there.
That's right.
Cut. Okay, Ravine, you're in. Where the hell was I?
Sorry.
It's okay. So this guy who can see stuff, he says that this hero, a Marvel hero amongst them, will be the cause of a major incident of destruction. The Marvel heroes react to the predictive power by dividing into two groups. The one side, led by Captain Marvel, argues that the predictions should be used to profile future crimes and prevent them.
Right.
And the other, led by Iron Man, resists punishing before a crime is actually committed.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
So we got two things going on here. We got that split like they did last time with the Registration Act.
Right.
Except it was Iron Man and Cap.
Right.
Well, there's another Cap.
Right. But it was
Marvel
different Cap.
Marvel versus America.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And the second thing is this kind of minority event thing, Minority Report.
Is that what I said? Yeah. So basically, there was a movie that came out years ago
with
Tom Cruise and Colin Farrell. And the idea was it was like kind of like a thought police where they would predict future crimes.
Yeah. You submerge some these kind of
psychic people,
people into water, and then they see it, and then they go and arrest those people
before it happens. That's right.
Right?
So this is the same kind of idea where the idea here is that should they go ahead and actually use this idea that this person's going to kill off or be destruction for the whole Marvel universe.
Okay, so let me ask you something.
Yeah.
So they basically ripped off the premise of Minority Report.
You know what? Yes and no. I mean, those ideas of that was originally a Philip K. Dick novel from
before, fair enough,
right?
Yeah.
So
we're okay with that,
I'm okay with that,
because it's kind of a good premise.
Yeah, it's a neat premise,
But how about the division of the Marvel U? What's your take on that?
Well, you know, it's funny like that it's Captain Marvel. Mm-hmm. So I find that interesting, that the fact they're using Captain Marvel this time, because before it was Captain America and Iron Man. Now it's Captain Marvel and Iron Man. Are they – I'm getting very skeptical because it seems like they're really starting to play up ideas. So Civil War, we're going to have Captain America, the movie Civil War, coming up soon, which is obviously going to have Captain America and – Iron Man.
Right.
And then now the series is going to have Civil War, but it's Iron Man and
Captain Marvel. Right.
So are they gearing up to have Captain Marvel in one of the movies later on?
That's what I was going to ask you, because I haven't seen all the Captain Marvel.
Right.
Hey, by the way, on an aside.
Yes.
Because we do asides.
We do asides, yeah.
I say. An aside.
Go right ahead.
I forgot what my aside was.
Fries?
No.
Was it like a side of fries?
I wouldn't mind a little shake. I lost it again. Stay with me here.
So you haven't seen all the Captain America movies? Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah, I haven't seen. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
I have that Minority Report ability here, yeah.
I tried to go see Star Wars on the weekend.
Oh, did you?
Fourth weekend.
Yeah.
Fourth weekend, I went an hour early.
Yeah.
and it was sold out.
No, Get Out. Yeah. No. Wow. So you still haven't seen it yet?
I haven't seen it yet.
So what does that really have to do with this again?
Asides don't have to do anything.
Oh, right. Okay. All right. Fair enough.
So what were we talking about?
So we were saying how what a great person I was.
Right.
No, we were saying that with this premise, so Captain Marvel and Iron Man, are they going to be the big ones? And will Captain Marvel play a bigger role in the movies
later
on?
Right. And my question to you was, has not Captain Marvel been in a movie?
No, not yet.
I haven't seen him
all. No, not yet. Not.
He's a pretty major character.
He
not
is,
to be in a
but
movie.
He is. I don't. Is he really a major character though? Like, he may have been years ago, during Infinity Gauntlet
but
and other
Captain
times.
But isn't Captain Marvel Ms. Marvel now?
Well, this is the thing. So when they say, yes, Captain Marvel is Ms. Marvel, Ms. Marvel will be in, there will be like a Ms. Marvel / Captain Marvel movie.
So the Captain Marvel in the Civil War II.
Yes.
That's Ms.
I'm assuming that that's
Ms. Marvel.
Ms. Marvel.
Right. Captain Marvel.
Right.
The current Captain Marvel.
Right.
Which is Ms.
Which was the old Ms. Marvel.
Right.
Because the new Ms. Marvel is that
Arabian
girl. Or
Egyptian.
Yeah, or something. Yeah. Middle Eastern.
Middle Eastern.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. I'm not sure what we just...
Anyways, there's going to be a big death.
Okay, let's get back to the crux of this thing, Chris, and figure out what we're trying to tell the people.
So,
So there's going to be a big death.
Yes, I think I just said that.
And I don't know. Well, first of all, whenever I hear there's going to be a big death, I yawn.
Right. Because been there, done that.
Yeah. I mean, really? Are you putting out a press release that there's going to be a major Marvel death and expecting some sort of reaction from the fan base going, oh my God, I wonder who it is?
They've done it too many times. You know, it's not a big deal anymore to kill off a major Marvel character because they're going to bring it back again.
Right.
Having said that, what I was about to talk about before the musical interlude break.
Right.
In Squadron Supreme, number one, which is one of the new Marvel comics, they have now killed off a major character of Namor, the Submariner.
Get out.
So, and this didn't make any news
at all.
How come
I didn't hear about it?
I don't know.
You know, I happen to run a comic shop.
You know, I've heard that. However, this did not make any news. Issues 2 and now 3 has come out today.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still talking about as if it's actually... the real Namor. So I thought maybe it might have, like, issue 2 would come out or issue 3 would come out.
Like a robot.
Robot
like
or
life. There's still time for that.
Yeah. Life model decoy.
Yeah, that's amazing because when you think about it, honestly, okay, listen. I mean, Marvel Comics.
Yeah, yes.
That morphed into Atlas Comics, that morphed back into Marvel Comics.
Right.
Was really built off of Namor. And Human Torch.
So,
and then Captain America.
Right. So, which my next point, in the end of Squadron Supreme number one, they have Captain America, not the Falcon, not the Sam Wilson Captain America, but the old man Captain America.
Roy Rogers?
Or Steve Rogers.
Steve Rogers, sorry.
Roy Rogers, the guy with a horse.
Right. Roy Rogers sung the soundtrack to that.
So, Steve Rogers. And they have... the original Human Torch in it because they're talking about Namor's death.
Mm.
So unless this is a Namor from another universe that no one gives two craps about, but I think this is actually the real Namor because they're bringing in old Steve Rogers and old Human Torch. So yet none of this has made any kind of news.
Yeah, and that's odd.
This is like the original of the original.
The original of the original.
Marvel Captain.
I always thought, like I dabble in the market. I play the comic market.
Right.
And I always thought that one of the unsung, the most potential, all that, whatever you want to call characters in the Marvel Universe in terms of value appreciation would be Submariner, whatever they want to call him.
Yep.
Because he's so flippin' dead right now. Dead for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Deader than he's dead in Squadron Supreme. Dead.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
dead.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, you know what? They get Ralph Raccoon. He gets his own comic series.
I love Ralph Raccoon.
You get Groot, or but you get all these, you know,
yeah,
and they're like making it to the big time. And Marvel and all the people of that golden age. So, you know, the Human Torch went into Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Captain America, obviously. And, you know, obviously Spider-Man and Hulk and everything. But Submariner, so he's the one that never got a dinner.
Well, yeah,
he's the one that ever got a dinner.
Yeah, that's right. You
know? And he's such an iconic part and an important piece, really a cornerstone piece.
Oh, of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah. And yet he's just got no play.
No.
And I always thought that, you know, that would be a place to go grab a couple of really key Submariner issues from his past and pick them up. They're cheap right now.
Okay.
In a speculative vein, because I'm thinking Marvel's going to do, my train of thought here, yeah. Marvel's going to do something with this guy.
Right, right.
Marvel's got to do something with this guy because this is the one guy that they haven't done anything with. A sort of like on DC side, you know, Flash up until the TV series.
Right.
You know, Green Lantern got the movie, and Wonder Woman was super famous. And Batman and Superman, and yet Flash, you know, got nothing.
Yep, right? That's right.
And
now, having said that, now along those that same train of thought that you're going along with, it's interesting what Marvel's doing because Marvel, I don't know if they're just looking for old characters to have stories with because they're the characters that haven't been bought up by Sony or Fox or whoever yet, Universal. But they're it seems recently that they're using a lot of characters from the New Universe line of comics from years ago. Having said that, there's a character that was even from one of the New Universe comics from DP7, which nobody wanted.
Yeah, I remember
You couldn't give those away. Yeah, There's a character who's from that comic who's now in the current Squadron Supreme.
Right.
So, you know, are they just trying to revive things or what's happening here? Like,
yeah, they're always trying to, I guess, shake things up and see what sifts, you know, or rises to the top
or
sinks to the bottom. It's just, it's odd with Submariner. It's just odd that a character of that stature, of that history,
so quick question
can just
for
be
you.
Jettisoned like this.
Quick question for you. So we're going to turn this into a Walt's pick of the week or whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
Speculative pick of the week.
Mm-hmm.
What Submariner comic would you suggest people to go out and buy if they had extra money? Would you say you have to go out and buy the Golden Age ones, or do you just go to the 60s?
Yeah.
Or 70s?
You know what? The Golden Age ones. The problem with the Golden Age ones is this. If you're going to invest in Golden Age ones, you can't. You know, the value is in the first appearances.
Right.
And they're too expensive.
Right.
Right. To get a, first of all, Motion Pictures Funnies Weekly or whatever that movie giveaway, I think there's 9 known copies.
Right.
Which is noted as Submariner's first appearance.
Right.
But his kind of true mass market first appearance is Marvel Comics #1.
Right.
Which is like in low grade $50,000 or something. So that's out of the question for all of us.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just randomly getting an issue #22 of Subby that's in a VG
four,
it's hard to sell.
Yeah.
Because in order to resell a comic quicker, in order for it to have a bit of liquidity, it has to have some sort of hook or some sort of thing to it like
right,
that.
Right.
So, you know what? I honestly think that maybe something like Fantastic Four #4.
Okay. Yeah.
Which reintroduces Submariner into the Silver Age, right?
Okay.
So he's actually reintroduced first because it was in Avengers #4, a good year plus later, maybe more, that they reintroduced Captain America.
Right, that's right.
So, and then initially, Submariner was a villain of Fantastic Four.
Right, yes.
So I think that's a good, strong
all
book.
That's good.
I think it's a good book.
All right, that's good to know. All right, listen. Let's have a quick musical interlude here. Interesting talk about Death of Namor, how we haven't heard anything about that on the news or anything anywhere.
Hold on, before we go, who do you think gets offed?
Oh, that's a great question. You know,
who do you want to get offed? Who are you sick of, tired of?
Sick of tired?
Yeah.
I am probably...
Deadpool?
Yeah, there's no way they're going to kill him off.
Wolverine?
Yeah, sure. Wolverine. You know what? Maybe
he's been dead already.
He's been dead before.
Yeah.
The new Jane Foster Thor, maybe? I don't know. I just want the old Thor to come back.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's have a quick musical interlude here. We're going to continue on with a little bit of the Krantz stuff. Let's try this one right here. ¶¶ Hold on a second. We already played that one. Let's try to.
You know, Shecky Feldstein.
You never screwed up like this, eh?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. I feel like I was in some sort of 60s.
Chris, you know what? I think I could learn to play that. If I could figure out what instruments they're using.
I was transported to some beatnik lounge.
Yeah, that's nice.
Where it's like, yeah. You know, yeah, man, just one note. That's all it takes to create music.
That's all I need.
Yeah, skooliwa.
Just give me another coffee.
Wow. Oh, dear. Okay, listen. What are we going to talk about next year, Walt?
We're going to continue industry news, and this segment of industry news is brought to you by Shecky Feldstein.
Chef,
if you need a book signed,
he'll sign it.
Shecky's your man.
Okay, so we
miss Shecky Feldstein.
Major hero. We already talked about that. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about what do you want to talk about?
How about the bebop?
Okay, let's talk about bebop.
Yeah, bebop. Very cool. Since we're on that kind of collecting strain.
Yes.
Bebop Comics in Kansas City recently bought a collection off of a private collector that just happens to have contained every single Marvel comic from Fantastic Four number one, November 1961, through to like today, last
end of
July.
2015. Every single Marvel comic.
33,000 roughly comics. Every single Marvel comic is up for sale. So the Bebop Comics, the store that bought this collection, they're trying to sell it as a lot.
Now, keep going.
And they're hoping that some sort of historical university or library or something like that is going to buy this complete collection.
Now, they're asking for $200,000,
mm-hmm. okay. Which is 1.5 million Canadian at today's exchange.
So, if there's 33,000 comics,
that's $6 a book.
It's roughly $6 a book,
yeah.
Right? So, you know, if he's got a Spider-Man number one,
yeah. Well, he's got everything. He's got I'm gonna whip off 10 big boys that are all big money,
right?
Okay, Fantastic Four one. Hulk 1, Amazing Fantasy 15, Spider-Man 1, Tales of Suspense 39, the first Iron Man, Tales of Astonish 27, the first Ant-Man, Journey into Mystery 83, the first Thor, Avengers 1, Daredevil 1, Sergeant Fury 1.
Strange Tales
110, the first Doc Strange. Those are all, even in lower grades, those are all thousands of dollar books.
And then you get the Hulk 181.
Yeah.
Then you get,
Deadpool. Spider-Man 129, the first Punisher.
Yep.
Look at the Fantastic Four run. You got that little sequence there where number 45 introduces the Inhumans. Number 48 introduces Galactus and Submariner. Number 52 introduces Black Panther.
Yep. Yep.
It's ridiculous the amount of key books that are now in the Marvel run.
Right.
And the interesting thing about Marvel comics, you know, let's say when you and I were young men collecting it, remember in the old price guide, they used to, those groupings, you know, like 21 to 40.
Yeah.
$2,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, now there's so many sub-keys and sub-sub-keys that, you know, like there's so many books that introducing these characters that didn't matter before.
Now all
first appearances matter.
Well, I remember back in the day, there was in the old Overstreet guides, they actually used to list key appearances.
Yeah.
And then they kind of figured, ah, we can't do this anymore. We give up.
Right.
Because there was just too many to do. List key
but
appearances
now
for
they're listing everything.
So, okay, so is, you know, if you had an extra $200,000, is this a good buy?
Well, what it comes down to, Chris, is grade.
Right.
What it comes down to is grade.
Yeah.
And what you can't be fooled by, because, you know, you and I are, oh, wow, we're, you know, I see your mouth drooling. I hope it's about the comics I was listing.
It is, yeah.
But then, boy, there's those runs of later She-Hulks. There's
my Strike Force still drooling.
Yeah, Strike Force Moriarty,
and Atari Force,
DP7, Atari Force. You know, comics that are in don't sell out of 50-cent bins.
Heathcliff number 2.
Yeah, like it's just ridiculous. Or all the, you know, Thor post 1975.
Right,
all those things, right?
Yeah.
So, and that's the bulk of it.
Yeah.
In terms of 90% of this collection is junk.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
In terms of trying to resell
it
individually,
you never get $6 for a lot of that stuff.
That's right. You can't get a buck.
Yeah.
For a lot of that stuff. Yeah. So what you have to do is do a cost analysis of it. Now they're saying, roughly according to their calculation, that if you sold them individually, you can almost double your money. Well, that tells me right away that it's not worth it.
Right.
Because
right.
One thing is for sure, you will never in a million years have 100% sell-through of this thing at any kind of advantageous overhead equation. So let's say you got to go to conventions, you got to open a store. All that stuff costs money.
Yeah.
So you got to go. Let's say you go to a convention.
Yeah.
Let's say you figure, I don't know, you have to pay for tables, you have to pay for van, you have to pay for gas, you have to pay for help.
Oh, yeah.
You have to pay for food.
You're losing money
there.
You
have to pay for booze. Just the booze, Chris.
Yeah.
Great. So, you know, let's say 20 cents out of every dollar goes to your overhead, right? And let's say it's just impossible to sell all those things.
That's right.
And so 20, 30, 40% just remains unsold forever.
Right. That's right.
At best, you're talking about a break-even scenario.
Right.
Why would you do this and kill yourself with work for a break-even scenario?
And you know what? If you're trying to sell it by saying, hey, you know, I'm going to buy it and I'll keep the good ones for myself, and then you're just might as well.
Well, yeah. Then you're in the whole $200,000.
That's right.
Then the bank's got your house, But so, yeah, I mean, it's great. What I like about it is it truly is all the Marvel comics in one spot.
I think the only way this could ever sell will be to a university or a library.
Right.
Because, I don't know what library
has. The only way it would ever sell for
$200,000.
Because I'm sure it'll sell for
$100,000. Oh, for sure. For $200,000.
The only thing, you know,
and
because
complete.
The only thing is because I'm so knowledgeable.
Right.
And people listen to me so much.
Sometimes.
The only advice I'd give to Bebop is, know what you're getting into if you're going to try to sell these piecemeal. But then, you know, like, here's the thing. What you do in situations like this usually is you sell the stuff that's easy to sell. So there'll be guys lining up for your Amazing Fantasy 15, the first appearance of Spider-Man.
Right.
There'll be guys lining up for your first Hulk and your first Iron Man and all that kind of stuff, right? And the question is, how fast do they get their $200,000 back?
Right.
And the rest of it, they can just liquidate. They can just go, I got a, you know, I don't know, 28,000 comics
with
dregs.
So what if?
Give me $2,000.
Could this collection become pedigreed?
No.
And then it becomes the, I don't know, whatever his name was, Fitzgerald collection or whatever. Frank Mangiacarian.
Of course it could be. Of course it could be. But here's the thing with pedigrees.
Okay. Here's the thing.
Right. Is you got to grade them.
Right. Every single one?
No.
Okay.
But you have to grade.
And do they have to be of a certain grade to get a pedigree?
No, they can get the pedigree designation based on the fact that it's a complete set.
Okay.
So these books that are graded come from the complete Marvel set of Joe Blow.
Right.
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 It could happen.
Bebop.
Right?
Collection. Bebop. Yeah.
Yeah. But what happens there is the market really doesn't care. So
right now.
Ever.
But Mike, well, I don't know about that.
Wouldn't
you ever want to have, if you had the chance to
There's only one collection that anybody wants to own a piece of just to say they owned a piece of.
And that's Mile High.
The Mile High. That's
Do you
care whether your Iron Man 2 is from the Northland collection or the Oakland collection or from the Winnipeg collection? Do you care?
No.
Right.
No, you're right.
Or Allentown.
Yeah,
you know
you're right.
I mean?
Yeah.
You know, your Golden Age book is a Billy Wright book.
Right.
These are all pedigrees.
Don Rosa collection.
Yeah. Like, do you care?
No.
But if you had a Mile High.
That's something.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, fair enough.
You had your church, you know, collection.
Right, yeah, yeah, fair enough.
So the thing, though, is if the books don't have grade, it becomes cost prohibitive to grade them. Like, if they don't have good grades, it becomes cost prohibitive to slap encapsulate.
Sure, right? Sure, sure.
Because the market
sense.
Doesn't give you that money back. So
no.
If you had a 4.0.
Team America.
Whatever, then you know, you're not getting anything
right,
for it.
Right,
so you're
right.
Losing money. But anyway, congratulations to the guy that put this together.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
It's a neat story.
It's a great story.
But good luck buying it.
We wish Bebop the best. And what I'd like to commend Bebop about is they had the Bagunos... The Baguzzos? The whatever you call them, balls. To go out and buy this.
If Bebop is looking for $200,000, what do you think they paid for something like that? 100 grand, 150 grand?
Yeah, I think yeah.
Should have got to it first.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, best of luck to Bebop.
Yep.
Okay,
for sure.
Let's keep going, Chris. We're going to talk about
Dark Knight.
No, I think you had a story, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, I do have a story. Hold on here. So, you know what? This is not really much of... it is still comic book industry news, but mm-hmm. there, you know how there are a lot of different TV shows nowadays about superheroes?
Yeah.
Right? So, I read this on Newsarama. So, Newsarama...
Good site, Newsarama.
I like going to Newsarama. They have... they're talking about how DC... There's actually more characters that DC has that should be adapted to television. Now, first of all, before I go into this, I'm going to say I think we're already reaching a saturation point for
Do you?
Yeah, for superhero television. There's a lot of superhero TV shows out there.
I don't know.
Marvel, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, Flash,
but
Arrow.
Here's the thing. Under the old model of television, in the
right,
old days of
right.
three networks and then four networks and then thing, what you say might be right.
Right.
But, you know, lately, the proliferation of delivery platforms for TV programs, whether it be Netflix or Crave or
right.
Google or, I don't know, Don Rosa, you know what I mean? They're all looking for content.
Right.
So in order for those ones to be successful, I don't think you need... Remember in the old days, you needed, you know, 30 million Americans tuning in because, you know,
right,
you were one
right.
of the three major networks
right,
and you
right,
had to pay.
Right.
So right now, I mean, I think if you get just a core niche group...
Yeah,
of,
that's true.
So I think there's enough...
Okay.
The thing, though, is the trick is to keep all these titles kind of under one umbrella...
Right,
but you have too many of them. Then you gotta pawn some off to say, you know, let's say Netflix is doing. I don't know DC well enough, but let's say Netflix is doing Marvel.
Right,
but they've got four already, and so Marvel has a fifth, and they pawn it off to Crave.
Right,
but then they realize, we could use that character.
We need that character. Yeah.
So this is the only thing about piecemealing them off to different producers.
I completely
right?
agree.
So, but you think they're overdone?
I think they're overdone. But here, I'm gonna read you the list of the characters
right.
that they have come up with that they say are ready for television.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
First one, Metamorpho.
Metamorpho. There's a song, Metamorpho.
There is. Yeah. Metamorpho. Metamorpho.
Right.
Metamorpho. So do you think, really, Metamorpho deserves a TV show?
Explain to me Metamorpho again.
Metamorpho.
He metamorphosized
Metamorpho
into
can basically
things.
Transform himself into any element.
Mm.
He was doing some sort of hunt in Egypt, and he came across some sort of gas or something like that, and he's Rex Mason. He's,
a lot of gas in Egypt.
Yeah. He can do any kind of chemical known to man.
Right.
Right?
I think Metamorpho would work.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. All right. How about Our Man?
Our Man?
Now, Our Man is a
How long would that show be?
So, if you want to talk about promoting, you know, Frederick Wortham would have a field day with this. Because
mm-hmm.
Our Man, he takes a pill, and he's strong for an hour.
They sell that at the pharmacy.
Yeah, do they ever?
That's for guys like you that used to be known as the Minuteman.
you're dead to me. How about the Bat Heroes?
The who?
The Bat Heroes. So they're talking about not just Batman, but they're talking about Robin and Batwoman and Batwing and Tim Drake and Batmite and you know, Catwoman and Huntress. And
but aren't those all incorporated into Batman?
They're kind of.
But hold on. Hold on. Now that I got you
okay, yeah,
here
you
in front
me.
Of me,
yeah.
Is there no Batman TV thing going on?
It was Gotham.
Okay.
So there's Gotham, but there's no...
Batman. Right.
Because they're saving Batman for Superman right. And for the movies.
Okay, I get it. All right.
Okay, so hold on. So then we got... now this one I like.
Uh-huh.
This one I like. Power Girl.
Jeez.
So,
nice.
So why couldn't Power Girl be... in
widescreen?
Yes, she could even be in the Flash TV series.
She sure can.
Okay, Lobo.
Lobo, yeah.
Lobo,
a little too violent.
Too violent.
Yeah.
Let's go on here. Hold on, Adam Strange.
That would be cool.
It could be. It could work.
It's dated though, right?
Well, if they made it. You know, if they updated it a little bit and they had, you know, the Man of Tomorrow and, like, you know, just kind of made it a little more cooler.
Right.
What about Deadman?
You see, Deadman, yeah.
So Deadman's a character that he can actually inhabit other people's live beings.
Uh-huh.
So that could work as like a detective series or something like that, right?
Well, what's that Quantum something? Wasn't that something
similar? Oh, yeah, it's kind of like that. Yeah. So,
Quantum Leap.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Black Lightning.
Cool.
Yeah.
Black Lightning.
The Question.
Yeah. See, Black Lightning, what he needs, though, you see, they have Cage.
Luke Cage, yeah.
Who's kind of a... Black Lightning was basically spawned from the success of Luke Cage. So
right.
Marvel did Luke Cage, that kind of first African-American with his own title, kind of gritty inner city type stuff.
Yeah.
And then DC answered with Black Lightning.
Yeah.
Thing, though, is... With what Marvel's doing with Netflix is they're, throwing Luke Cage into that, an already kind of set up gritty world of Hell's Kitchen that Jessica Jones and Daredevil already inhabit. And then, you know, and then Iron Fist's going to come into that after. How would they even start Black Lightning?
No idea. It might have to be its own show.
Right.
Although he could appear in like... I don't know, Flash or something like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know if that's the effect that they want, because Flash and Green Arrow, and they have this certain feel.
Right.
Definitely isn't a Daredevil feel.
No, that's right.
Right.
Yeah.
And so depending on what they want to do with Black Lightning. But Black Lightning could work.
It could work. Yeah. Then it said The Question, which I'm doubtful.
Mm-hmm.
Green Lantern.
Oh.
The movie,
you know, Green Lantern has to be fantastical.
Yes.
And you want production value with Green Lantern. Mm-hmm. And when you have a TV show, I think you need more, you know, local sets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I don't think it would work.
I agree. So anyway, so that was the 10, ending with Green Lantern there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is there anybody that you can think of? What about Jonah Hex?
Westerns are so dead. Westerns are so dead. It's unbelievable. But, you know, same token, I think the movie bombed, so I don't think they're going to go there with that. But I think something like, you know, DC had this really kind of cool, they almost owned it really in the early 70s, that cool kind of macabre, gothic, you know, Cain and Abel telling stories of you know, House of Mystery, House of Secrets. Swamp Thing, all that kind of stuff. That whole world. You know how Marvel is building a world around Starlin's vision? You know, they can build a Wrightson, Kaluta type world around DC. I don't know. I think that would be cool.
I think it would be awesome.
Kind of that
kind of,
you know, the Moors of England type of thing, you know.
Yeah, has old storytellers.
Yeah,
and,
I don't know. I think that would be cool.
Yep. I like it. You know what? Let's have a quick musical interlude here. We're going to, and then we're going to cap off the show with talking a little bit about some of the numbers. So this one here we got here is, this one's called The Leader. Hold on. Running into some technical
difficulties. Oh, Shecky.
Technical difficulties.
Shecky, where are you?
Here we go. We'll be right back.
Yeah, Chris, you know, honestly, I think I can lend the drums to that song.
I think you could, too.
I think I can do it.
All right, let's talk numbers.
Hey, no, you know what? I'm going to hijack it. Yeah, it's a takeover, as Jimmy Cliff once said.
All right, fine, let's do it.
Remember last week we talked about, because who wants to know about comic numbers, really?
All right, fair enough. That's fine. Yeah, okay. Yeah, just ruined my whole show. It's fine.
Listen,
yeah.
If this bit falls flat, we'll go to the comic.
Yeah, okay. Get ready then.
So remember last week we talked about how the Canadian comic book is 75 years old and Captain America is 75 years old.
Yes.
Well, I did a little digging and I go, you know, 2016 is rife with
anniversaries. Oh,
right?
Okay, yeah.
And so I want your take on all these properties. So I'll try to get through as many as I can. All
right. Yep.
But all these properties are celebrating anniversaries as of 2016.
Right. Nice. So happy anniversary.
All right. We did Cap at 75.
Yeah.
The oldest one on this list, celebrating his 80th birthday, is the creation of the Phantom.
The creation of the Phantom.
The Phantom.
So are we talking about the Phantom, like the guy in the purple?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay. Yeah.
The one that Charlton ended up taking over and stuff like that. So that is 1936.
Interesting. Very interesting.
So, and Phantom, everybody sees him as a precursor to Batman.
Right.
So that's very cool. Savage Dragon, 30 years old over at Image.
Already?
30 years old.
Holy cow.
Now, have you ever read Savage Dragon?
Yeah, or when it first came out.
Yeah?
Yeah. Man, is it really 30 years ago?
30 years ago.
That can't be right.
Oh, really? Yeah. 50th anniversary, Chris, of the 1966 Batman TV show.
Really? Yeah. Interesting. Okay. 50th anniversary. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Wow. That's a long time ago. Yeah.
I know. Obviously, the same 50th anniversary for Galactus and for Silver Surfer.
Right.
You mentioned that because they first appeared in Fantastic Four.
Yep.
Number 48. Now, Ultraman.
Ultraman. Isn't that the Japanese
thing?
Yeah,
50 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Ultraman was kind of, would that be from 66 as well, obviously, but Ultraman was kind of almost, you know, that Astro Boy.
Yeah, it was like a live action giant, kind of like a robot show, like Godzilla kind of.
I think he was very, the more I read up on him, he was very influential for the stuff that came out of Japan after.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So a property that we don't know much about.
No.
But celebrated around the world.
Interesting.
Howard the Duck, the film, is 30 years old this year.
Now that I believe.
Wow.
That I believe. You know, I saw it in the theater on opening night.
Yeah.
We never got my money back.
No,
I wish I had.
And you never got that time back.
No, I never got that time back. Yeah. Right, I was so excited about that when that came out. I remember going out and buying every Howard the Duck comic book.
Yeah.
I still have them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, another 30th anniversary of something that you'll remember fondly is the Watchmen graphic novel.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So that celebrates 30 years this year. Yeah. 50th anniversary of one of my favorite properties of all time, Star Trek.
Oh, really?
1966 is when it debuted on NBC on TV.
Yeah.
So, and of course, you know what? Star Trek had that running head start, but then Star Wars totally eclipsed it.
Yeah.
But great storytelling in Star Trek.
Absolutely.
Hey, 40th anniversary of The Muppet Show.
Hey, it's The Muppet Show.
The Muppet Show. Which is fantastic.
Yep.
And to talk about spawning.
They've reintroduced the Muppet Show. Because remember, we talked about this a few weeks ago on our show.
But, I mean, that whole kind of industry that it's
huge.
All the movies in the 90s and all the... I mean, you can say Yoda really owes his existence to the Muppet Show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really.
Yeah, so for sure.
That's really cool. 50th anniversary, Chris, of It's a Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Oh, the Halloween special for Charlie Brown and the Peanuts Gang. Yeah, nice.
50 years
ago. Wow. No kidding.
And I read something.
I got a rock. Sorry,
from that. I never saw it. But the story behind that was when they wrote that, they pitched that to all the networks. And
really?
They said, this is terrible.
Really?
Yeah. Who the hell? Like, this
It's crazy. Now it's one of the iconic
things like that. Tomb Raider is 20 years old.
Really?
This year.
I find that hard to believe.
Tomb Raider. Yeah.
Has been around for 20 years.
Still looks pretty good, though,
to me. Yeah, she looks pretty good. Yeah, it hasn't aged a day.
Mm-hmm. Legend of Zelda is 30 years old.
Wow, holy cow.
Yep. Space Jam, the movie, 20 years ago.
Really?
You know what? Okay, so, it's just a blur. Hold
on. It seems to me like all the great properties that you're mentioning here. So, Legend of Zelda, Tomb Raider, it all like all these awesome properties in general all happened like 30 years ago. So, what happened? Like, why is there? I would love to know what was going on like 30 years ago. What were people growing? Were they people growing up on like the Batmans and the Star Trek?
Yeah, you're right. Like, let's do 30. Let's do Highlander, Big Trouble in Little China.
Yep.
You know, what did I say here? Pee-wee's Playhouse was 30 years ago.
30 years ago.
Dark Horse Comics launched 30 years ago, and Sonic the Hedgehog, Legend of Zelda launched 30
That's
years ago.
That's crazy.
Well, that puts us into the mid-80s, but that was definitely a time of transition, though.
Yeah.
Like, the mid-80s was when comics turned serious. I think it's one of those things where, I think it happens all the time where we're often grandfathered into, you know, what the previous generation.
Right,
you know, what your older brother gave you or your dad.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it just, every now and then a generation breaks the shackles and they do their,
own thing. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Crazy. Okay, Forbidden Planet. Forbidden Planet.
60 years.
With Robbie the Robot.
Oh, yep, yeah. Forbidden Planet. Yeah, one more here. Let me see. Barry Allen's Flash Gordon is 60 years old this year.
Wait, Barry Allen's Flash Gordon?
Like, sorry, Flash. Did I say Flash Gordon?
Yeah.
Dope! yeah, 60 years old for Barry Allen Flash. And that's, of course,
the new Flash.
The new Flash. Because the old Flash would be 76 years old this year, 1940.
Holy cow. Yeah,
but,
crazy.
Yeah, that's a lot of properties. But now, what I wanted to ask you about this
Yeah, we got 2 minutes, by the way.
Is you know, that nostalgia cycle. So it's almost like if you're into collectibles, you peruse what properties, what's the magic age, what's the magic time lapse where nostalgia kicks in? Is it 20 years?
I would say so. Because 20 years, if you liked something.
If you're like 13 years old.
Or 10.
And you're loving Transformers.
Yeah. And then when you're 30, you finally have money after getting a job.
Yeah, you finally get out of your mom's basement.
Yeah. So I'd say 15, 20 years.
Yeah, 20 years. Know? Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So on this list, Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
And Space Jam. So hey, run out and get anything Space Jam.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, on that note.
Listen, Comic Culture is produced by
us,
Chris Owen and me. And we're on comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. And as always, we are on Hamilton's award-winning 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio. Please go out and support your local comic book shop.
And have yourself a great day.